Welcome to Star Wars, Age of Rebellion. This is an RPG Storytime presentation of a campaign played over several years utilizing all three Star Wars role-playing books by Fantasy Flight Games. This is a grand campaign where everything you hear was decided by players in an epic-scale role-playing and strategy game, then turned into this production that tells the story one chapter at a time with occasional explanations of game mechanics. The episodes are shorter than most gaming podcasts because each session is summarized in the form of a story much like an audiobook. It begins with a small band of agents played by a few role players. As the Rebel cell grows, more players are brought in to take on the roles of other operatives heading out on other missions and taking part in various battles. Every choice affects the direction of the story, both for the characters on the mission and for the overall story arc. And the ultimate fate of the Juvex and Senex sectors is up to them. Having rescued Briley Krizlat and her fiancé Tornek Karuda, the Rebels have been taken to their secret base made up of ex-slaves of the sector, the Revolutionaries. After landing in the hangar of the Revolutionaries' base, Roach was taken directly to the medical facility while Dr. Tornek Karuda showed the others around the rest of the base. The rooms and corridors were crude, but they were surprisingly well equipped. What was especially surprising was their numbers. They were, in fact, pretty overcrowded. Aelor asked about this, and Tornak told her that they not only had escaped slaves and sympathizers from Deol, but slaves who had escaped from Thurman as well. That planet had been the haven where slaves escaped before, but ever since Cassito took it over, the former slaves who eluded their grasp raided their landing pads and stole ships. "We had made contact with them, so a lot of them came here," Tornak said. After his short tour was complete, he let them wander the place freely, but he remained with Yalto since he seemed to be the commander in charge.
"You've done a lot with very little resources,"
Yalto said. "Yes, everyone's really pulled together, but I'm afraid of it all falling apart. Then it will have all been for nothing," Tornak said.
"Why do you think it might fall apart?"
"They're on to us, clearly. I knew it was coming. But when you all showed up, that showed that it's sooner rather than later. And now the Empire is helping them. We can't hide for much longer. And even if they don't find us, we won't have enough food to feed everyone for much longer."
"What do you think you're going to need?"
Yalto asked. "Support," Tornak said decisively. "Air support and some heavy weaponry. I know the Alliance doesn't have a lot compared to the Empire, but relative to House Cassito, they could tip the balance."
"I don't know if they can help. They're focused on the Empire,"
Yalto said. "What good is toppling the Empire if slave houses are allowed to endure?" Tornak asked. Yalto didn't respond. He had spent a couple days pretending to be a slave, and that had been bad enough. The doctor had a point. "Help me speak with them. A little aid to us would go a long way to victory, and they would have new allies fighting for them in this sector." Yalto thought about it, then told him,
"I'll have to see what I can do. I'm not very high in the Alliance. I just met the local cell. Look, I believe in your cause, but I don't want you to get your hopes up too high."
Dentra stood in a common room staring out the window at the flowing mist. It appeared as though it was underwater. Even the flying beasts that flew by floated slowly as though deep ocean creatures. Aelor walked into the room behind him.
"Studying the mist?"
she asked as she approached.
"Yes,"
Master Dentra said.
"It has a strong pull."
"I suppose that's why I felt it from space. Or we felt it from space."
"Yes, exactly."
"Master Dentra, why don't you use your lightsaber?"
"I only wield my weapon when it is absolutely necessary,"
he answered.
"The battle we had seemed pretty necessary."
"There was another route, another way to use my powers. If they had failed, I would have used it."
"It was a good distraction. But we still needed some help getting out. Aren't you..."
Master Dentra opened the window. A little bit of the mist rolled in. He wrapped his hand in it. Then he held it forward, then curled the fingers over and over as if beckoning something. A flying beast appeared out of the fog and came to them. It landed on the side and stared into the room. Aelor was amazed by it. She placed her hand on its neck and rubbed it, as though petting the animal. She felt a strong, almost ethereal energy coming from it. The same sort of feeling Master Oberon had described Force Ghosts as exhibiting. Her mind wandered, and quickly forgot what they had been talking about. Doubly was also staring at the mist. though he was more covered in it as he stood at the edge of the hangar where a little of the fog billowed inside. He was as lost in thought as he was covered in a cloud. Briley spotted his silhouette within. She would know him anywhere. Walking toward him, she was soon swallowed by the mist as well. And it was as though they were standing in limbo, with no sky or ground, future or past. Just them, like it used to be.
In all the sectors of all the galaxy, you are to walk into mine.
I was assigned here. I had no idea you were nearby.
It's funny about your voice, how it hasn't changed. I can still hear it. Dorbs, dearest, we will get on a ship, get away from the Empire, and never stop.
Don't, Dubs. I can understand how you feel.
You understand how I feel. How long was it that we had?
I didn't count the days.
Well, I did. Mostly I remember the last one. A guy standing on a spaceport in the rain with a comical look on his face because his inside had been kicked out.
Can I tell you a story, Dubs?
Has it got a wild finish?
I don't know the finish yet.
Well, go on. Tell it. Maybe one will come to you as you go along.
It's about a young woman who got work in a burgeoning empire. She was full of hope and ambition. A new start for everyone in a more steady and safe galaxy. At last, research could be for the betterment of humanity, not to fight separatists. That young woman is successful enough that she gets an early promotion. And along with that comes access to background files and bounties on wanted criminals. She loved someone very much, but she learned what he'd done in the past and the sorts of people who were after him. Some of those very dangerous people were now working with the new Empire and were closing in on that man she loved. The only way he could get to safety was to be as far from her as possible, because her work had her monitored everywhere she went.
Maybe the young woman should have trusted that boy. Maybe she should have known he'd been in tough scrapes before and...
Maybe she knew he'd think that, and that thinking would get him killed. Probably both of them. Dubley was silent for a moment, thinking about what she was saying. Then he said,
"So you have been with this Dr. Karuda ever since?"
"We met recently, after I left the Empire."
"When you left Lifeseed."
"How do you know about that?"
"This is a dangerous program. We come to destroy it."
"That's why you found me? Doubly, you don't want to mess with these people."
"This time, let me decide that."
"All right. I will help you infiltrate Lifeseed, but you have to do something in return."
"What is it, my butterfly?"
"When I met Tornak, he was an idealist. He had begun working for House Casito for the same reasons I started working for the Empire, to better the galaxy. But he saw the evils quickly, and slowly but surely he found a way to overcome it. When slaves began escaping from Thurman to here, he saw his chance. It's time for us to overthrow Casito. But we can't win on spirit. We need help winning."
"Why not tell him you will smuggle him off planet, then stand him up?"
"Oh, Dubs, stop."
"Or is that something you say for the non-humans?"
"Okay, you want me? Fine. Help Tornak win this battle and I will leave with you. I will get into your cockpit with you and we'll disappear into the cosmos to wherever you want to go. Just please don't leave this movement to die on this world. I'm begging you."
All right. I will help you."
After coming out of the Bacta tank, Roach laid on a cot recovering. Because space was tight, several of the ex-slave soldiers had their sleeping quarters in the same room. Several of them were not much older than him, and he got to know them quickly. They knew that they would be going out to fight soon, and they were anxious to go after those who had once enslaved them. One of them, Tia, was particularly interested in explosives. She showed off her landmines to him. "Any of them step on this, and their leg is gone!" The others cheered and laughed.
"Yeah, but wouldn't you want to take out the whole squad?"
"Boy, you're a dreamer," Tia said.
"It's actually really easy. You start by replacing the pressure plate with the omnidirectional laser."
And so the young man showed them how to create a proximity mine. And when he was done with that, he showed them all how to throw grenades further and more effectively. Just to show off, he juggled some of their grenades and pocketed a couple for himself as he did. Yalto spied on his partner, noticing how quickly his team of Roach's Rough Riders were coming along. He realized that doing his part was the least he could do, so he gathered some of the soldiers who were practicing and trained them on heavy weapons. Learning that his unit was once called 4th Battalion, and that most of them were wiped out at the Battle of Hoth, the soldiers he trained began calling themselves 4th Battalion in their honor. Aelor saw this as well, and she began training some of them in close combat skills. Doubly, meanwhile, took some of them up in skyhoppers that had been fixed with weapons and showed them how to lend close air support. After they had all had time to rest, Briley invited them into the control center to brief them on what they had rescued her to learn about. Life Seed is a project intended to improve humanity at the expense of other beings. It's run by ISB agent Nikra Stas, who oversees two departments. One of them creates bulked-up stormtroopers, which is run by Dr. Quetel Fogro. The other, the one I worked for, seeks to steal the life energies from Force users and place them into his servants, who he calls his dark servitors.
Rixar Traun,
Aelor said with spite, staring at the holographic face of the man with the mechanical monocle. You've met him? Briley asked. Aelor just nodded. I'm sorry, Briley said. Then she said to all the others, He is not a man to be trifled with. Though he does not possess any of the powers of the Jedi of old, he seems to have found a way to steal it. On Deminol, he had us analyzing data in one room while he ran horrible experiments in the other. I never saw the subjects, but I heard their screams. I suspect one of them was you, she said, looking at Aelor, who only looked away. Again, I am so very sorry. Rixar believed that something in the bloodstream gave Force users their abilities, something the Jedi called midichlorians, though there are many names for them. This line of thinking yielded few results. Meanwhile, Dr. Thagro's work was proceeding on schedule, so he got the financial backing of Imperial resources. Thagro and Das expanded their work into the Senex sector. Rixar, meanwhile, was squeezed out, but he refused to give up. He took what resources he had and moved them into an ancient tower on a rogue planet.
Rogue? Like in Rebellion?
Aelor asked. Rogue as in without a sun, floating out in deep space where no one could find it. Don't ask me how he found the world. It doesn't appear on any charts. But he had it built into a facility to continue the work. His first theories moved away from microbial life and into something less substantial that could be stolen from Force wielders and placed into himself and his servants. Everything about this felt wrong. There was even some mysterious cloaked figure he met with in a hollow chamber. I didn't want to know anymore. I just wanted to get out. And when the Empire allied with Cassito, I saw an opportunity to transfer back to the sector, back to where Tornak was working. He found the position for me, and I began working on Dial. However, Rixar is making a move, and we suspected he might purge those who once worked for him. It appears we were right.
So his research is probably complete,
Yalto deduced. That's right.
Which means his followers now have Force powers stolen from actual wielders.
It also means he probably have something to prove.
I would guess that, Briley said.
We need the coordinates to this rogue world,
Aelor said. Briley took a deep breath before looking at Doubly. She said, Be careful. And then she handed a data pad over to Doubly with the coordinates.
We will be,
Doubly said, part dismissively. No, you don't understand what you're going up against. This man is a fanatic, and his followers are true sycophants.
I'm going to kill him,
Aelor said bluntly.
I hope so.
But as she was speaking, Doubly was distracted by his hand comm. He had patched it to the air traffic communication station to hear what was going on. Now he listened. Some of the skyhoppers he had trained were out on patrol. Now they were calling back a desperate report. Cassito fighters were escorting Imperial shuttles on their way to the base. They had been found.
This has been an RPG Storytime presentation of Age of Rebellion. Join us next week to hear what happens next. If you'd like to see a visualization of this episode, check out our YouTube channel. The link is in the description. If you'd like to see other things written by the author of this show, you can also find that in the description. Happy gaming, everybody!